Good morning.
Morning.
See, I won't have you do it again. But as I'm getting set up here, I just wanted to share just something briefly with myself. And that's, I'm a reader. I read a lot. And I read all different genres of books and things like that. And came across one of those like self-help type of books, you know, Be the Man of Your House. So I figured what I would do is I would see how that works out in the house, all right? And basically, I sat with Jackie and said, listen, you know, I work really, really hard. And when I get home, I expect dinner to be on the table, okay? And then when I'm done with dinner, I'm just going to leave the stuff here for you to clean up, and I'm just going to go in the living room. I'm going to turn on the TV, and well, I want to watch the news. I want to, you know, get caught up with what's going on in the world. And, you know, you can clean up and you can take care of the kids too, because, you know, I don't want it to be that noisy either. Otherwise, I can't hear the news. So take care of that. And while, you know, I'm watching and you know, calming down from my tough day, why don't you then take care of the kids' homework? And when it gets time to put them to bed, why don't you take care of that too, you know, the baths and getting things ready for the next day. And I just said, you know, and the next morning, do you know who's going to be helping me get dressed? And Jackie said to me, sounds like the funeral director. But really, that didn't happen, so you don't have to go and ask Jackie, is she really doing that? No. But what it does illustrate is that there are a lot of bad self-help type of books out there. So we do have to really be careful with what we do fill our minds with and what we do read. And that's why it's important as Christians that we spend time in the Bible, that we spend time reading His Word. And today what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time in the book of Colossians, particularly chapter 3. But just to give a quick overview, the book of Colossians was written by Paul, and it's considered one of the prison epistles. While Paul was in prison in Rome, he wrote four books: Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. And as you read each of those books, you get a little bit of a theme that comes out. Like if you read Philippians, you can get the sense of being joyful in Christ regardless of your circumstances. And here Paul, he's writing in prison, he's been beaten, and he can write to the Philippian church about that. Or in Ephesians, you can get the theme of the body of Christ as Paul is talking about the church. In Colossians, you kind of get a little bit of a direction that we're going to move to the head of that body, which is Christ itself. Now, the church of Colossae is located in modern-day Turkey today, and or where Turkey is today, and as a church, it had to deal with a lot of Gnostic thought, thoughts that had to do with Christ not really being God, that he was a created being. And that's why if you read Colossians, the beginning, it states so clearly that Christ is God, that he's the creator, the sustainer, the preeminent one, the redeemer of his church. And Colossians lays that out. If we were to do an outline of the book of Colossians, we could actually divide it in half and take chapter 1 and 2 and just realize that that is more doctrinal in nature, illustrating that Christ is the fullness of God and we're made whole because of Him. While chapter 3 and 4 are more practical in nature, that Christ needs to be poured out in the life of believers. Our key verse today is actually going to be verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That basically we as Christians need to be demonstrating godly thoughts, godly characteristics, godly traits in our daily routines, whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether our daily activities. Now, I spend a lot of time right now coaching both of my daughters in softball. And when I'm out on that field with them coaching, I have to be cognizant that I am God's ambassador there, and how I conduct myself is extremely important. I can't be flying off the handle because an ump made a bad call. I can't be yelling at an 11-year-old because they made a mistake in the field, throwing it to the wrong base. That is not demonstrating godly qualities. That's what we're called to do as God's ambassadors. See, too many times I think we get wrapped up in our routines, and for a Christian, well, you know, it's Sunday and I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday, but what happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? God's saying that you're a Christian every day of the week. You're a Christian no matter what you're doing during the week. Now, the Colossian church was known for having that living faith. If you look in the beginning of Colossians, you don't have to flip to it. I'll just quickly, briefly read verse 4. It says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ." Now, Paul never went to the Colossian church. He never went there. The closest that he ever got was actually the Ephesian church, which was about 75 miles away. But word had gotten around, and it affected Paul enough that he would write to them saying that they had a living faith. And then he wrote this book as an encouragement to them. Now, for us as individuals, a lot of times when we start thinking of displaying those godly qualities, the question comes up, where do we begin? What point do we start at? And Colossians 3 sets it up right in the beginning. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated in the right hand of God." Set your minds on things above. Basically, it's saying, what is your focus? What are you focused on? For the Christian, our focus is to be on things above. Our focus, our hearts and our minds are to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my job, I spend a lot of time driving and going to different appointments and things like that. And what I'll do is I'll look on a map and that'll be my point. Or I'll set the GPS and that'll be my point. And that's what I'm focused on because that's where I want to go. And what I have to do is I take a path that's going to get me to that point. Now, detours may come along, things may happen. And yes, it takes me off, but once again, what is my focus point? It is that destination. For Christ, that focus, for us, that focus point is to be Christ. We are to be tuned in and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny, a lot of times they can say in many ways you can become your focus, that you become so centered on that, that you take a path that way. I have on my desk, and I know I've shared this with some of you already, basically a little poem that kind of keeps me, and I don't even think it was written by a Christian, but it definitely just keeps things reminding for me when it comes to dealing with customers and dealing with different workers and things like that. And it says, "Be careful of your thoughts, because your thoughts become your words. Be careful of your words, because your words become your actions. Be careful of your actions, because your actions become your habits. Be careful of your habits, because your habits become your character. Be careful of your character, because your character becomes your destiny." In essence, that we need to be careful every step of the way, but most importantly, where it begins in our thought life. And that's why when you're reading Colossians, set your minds and set your hearts on things above. Right away, get it right in the beginning. You know, that's a long poem, but the Bible has a shorter way to say it. And that's what's so good. In Luke chapter 12, verse 34, it says, "Where your heart is, there is your treasure." Where your heart is, there is your treasure. Our heart is once again to be centered on Christ, not to be centered on so many things in the world that can wind up sucking you in so easily. You know, things that we see so many people pursuing, and with the questions of, well, what kind of car do you drive? How big is your house? What school do your kids go to? All these different things that we can think of that are just so important, but in the end, they really don't matter. You know, Diana Duncan and I, we were downstairs and we were watching the kids get their stickers for bringing in their Bibles and how excited they were that they were getting a sticker. And we were just commenting on, do they realize how worthless really a sticker is? But here it is, they're excited about getting a sticker. And it reminds me so many times of some of the things that we wind up chasing after, so many things that we think that are really, really important, but in the end, they really don't matter. They don't matter at all. Now, if we're focused on Christ, and we want to put on what I'll call the garments of Christ, it's going to lead us in our actions with others. First thing that it's going to do is it's going to help us to put off some of the selfish characteristics that are mentioned in verse 5 through 8. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and don't lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. So we've taken off the old self, we're putting on the new self. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. Forgive as God forgave you. You know, it's funny, as we're putting on these attributes, these traits of compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, we're putting on a family resemblance to Christ. These were the traits that Christ demonstrated when he was here. They're the traits that we should demonstrate in our dealings with others. And that's the key. You see, these traits really only come out in relation to each other. They're only worn in community with each other. I can talk about being kind, but the garment is only really worn when we're being kind to somebody else. I can talk about being humble, but it only really is worn in my relationships with other people. Now, how easy is patience when you're alone? I can tell you it's very, very easy. If you put me in my living room, once again, with just some soft music there, maybe a book, I'll tell you and confess that I'm one of the most patient people you've ever met. Now, if you put me in that same living room with two kids who are fighting about something, and then the phone rings, and then another child in the kitchen says, "Dad, the dog's peeing on the floor." Well, all of a sudden, that patience level is just not the same. You know, it's one of those phrases, you know, don't ask the Lord for patience, or by golly, he'll work things out to see how patient you can become. But that's how we wind up getting those different attributes, is in community with each other, by being focused on Christ and then displaying those characteristics with each other. Sadly, I've known, I shouldn't say sadly, part of it's good, is that I've known some Christians who were very, very good at getting rid of the old self. They used to have an issue with their mouth, filthy language, and they conquered that. And they used to have an issue with temper, and they conquered that as well. And that's great.
But then the flip side is, when it came to dealing with a brother or sister who fell and putting on that new self. And I'm not talking about someone who was just walking away from God. I'm talking about somebody who, due to circumstances, fell. Where is the reaching out to that individual with genuine kindness, genuine compassion, demonstrating genuinely the love of God? You know, helping out not with an air of superiority, but helping out because we really care about what's going on in the lives of that person. That's what we're supposed to be about, is, once again, God's ambassador, God's representative here on earth, and reaching out to those other people. You know, there's two lines of a poem I'm going to read. Yeah, I'm reading a lot of poems for you guys, but I think some of these words just wind up hitting. But it says, "To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's another story." You know, we talk about it all the time. I can't wait till we get to heaven and how great that's going to be. Well, you know what? We're here now. And God wants us to demonstrate His love to others right here, right now, and not wait until glory, but to be doing it now. We need to have that patience. We need to have that forgiveness with each other, because we're all God's workmanship, but we're not finished yet. God still has a lot of work to do in each of us. And I think the thing that comes up is that God is working in each of our lives, but He's working at them at a different pace. We don't know the baggage that somebody else may have had. Did they come from a broken home? Is there something going on in their home life that we don't know about? There's so many things that God is working on that we don't know. And too many times we're quick to point the finger about what somebody else should be doing. You know, it kind of reminds me of that poster a long time ago where there was a little boy and he's in his timeout chair and he's turned around, he's got his little boo-boo face on and he's crying, and basically on the bottom it says, "Be patient because God isn't finished with me yet." And He's not. He's not finished with each of us. There's work that God has to do in each of our lives as He's conforming us into the image of His Son. You know, it reminds me a little bit about what Dr. Tony Hart said in his marriage seminar. And he said that each of us married a sinner. Forgiven, redeemed, but each of us married a sinner. I mean, Jill, John's good. John's really good, but he's a sinner. You know, we could say the same thing, George. Carol's really good, but she's a sinner. Each of us are sinners that God is working on. You know, I can stand up here today as well. I mean, I'm preaching this message, and I was mentioning to Barb before, it's tough to be preaching and speaking on a message when you know so many different areas that you're failing in. You know, it's easy for me to be talking up here and to talk about patience and forgiveness when I know that even right now there's areas in my life that I'm struggling with. And God has got to help me work through some of those issues. So I don't want anybody to be thinking I'm up here giving the answers and that stuff. I'm just helping to try and point the way to where the answers are. And the answers are by looking and focusing on our Lord and Savior, and by reading His Word to try and reinforce some of those same qualities and attributes that we should be demonstrating in our daily lives. Now, I also want to be careful when I say this also is, we're talking about garments, and garments many times are things that are worn on the outside for everybody to see. But when it comes to this, we're talking about something deeper. We're talking about what the Lord is doing in individual hearts. The reason we're putting on those garments of kindness and compassion is because of the work that God is doing in each of our hearts. And I think if you look at some of Paul's other writings, and we'll just briefly, you don't have to flip over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25, you start looking at the fruits of the Spirit, that if God is working in your life, certain traits will come out, much like a tree that's bearing fruit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If you go through those attributes, they're the same things as what we were talking about with the garments. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And it's love which binds them all together. So naturally what we're going to do is we're actually even going to flip over and we're going to read something else just to see the consistency of this thought throughout God's Word. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I know that this is something that is read a lot at weddings. You know, it's called the love chapter. So basically it's read many, many times at weddings. And the funny thing about it is that I don't think Paul's target audience was couples who were about to get married. All right, I think that it has a wider application. It's important for couples that are about to get married, but it's also important for each of us as Christians in our relationships with each other. And as we're reading these verses, just to pay attention to what love is, what love is not, what love does, and basically just look for some of those same characteristics as was listed in the fruits and the garments. Those things being patience, kindness, compassion, genuine forgiveness. We'll begin in verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now I'm going to go back to old science class. Basically, if you take light and put it through a prism, what happens? It breaks out into a rainbow. And I remember that acronym Roy G. Biv, that basically it breaks out into red, orange, yellow, blue, violet, indigo, you know, and violet. And that's what light is. It's all those different colors together. If we look at what genuine, godly love is, and we were to put that through a prism, what we would find is we would break it up and it would have kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, forgiveness. All those different attributes are tied together. And here we're commanded as Christians to love our brethren. We're supposed to be demonstrating those same traits to each other and outside this church, in our daily lives, in our homes. The Bible tells us that God is love. That's who He is. God is all those characteristics. And we love because He first loved us. As I said, do I fail? Absolutely. But that's why the Holy Spirit is working in my life, working in your life, to keep bringing us back. Now, I also would be remiss if we didn't mention in Colossians verse 16. I got to flip back for a second. Because verse 16 basically says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. What does it mean to dwell? Well, dwell means to live. Now, how can it live if we never do spend any time reading God's word? Because it's by reading God's word that a lot of those garments that we talked about will be reinforced. It's by reading and studying His Word when situations come up in our lives, the Holy Spirit is able to bring things to mind because we've read and put those things in there. Now, the basic truths of the Bible are not difficult to understand. I think sometimes we can get overly theological and trying to explain certain things, but the basic truths are not that difficult. And I'm going to bring up a quote that some of us heard a couple weeks ago, but it came from Mark Twain. Basically, most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they can't understand. But as for me, I've always noticed that the passages of Scripture which trouble me the most are those which I do understand. That double-edged sword, that the Bible, yes, it'll comfort us, but it'll also trouble us because it reveals to us our shortcomings. It reveals to us things that we need to work on. We need to be spending time in His Word. Not with some of the self-help books that I was talking about initially. And we need to remember that God does love us. Look at the extent that He loves us. That He willingly sent His Son to die for us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help shape us and conform us. And for us to remember that it's not just about Sunday, but it's about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday also. As we're demonstrating and putting on those garments because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. Now, nobody ever minds really leaving early, but before we do leave, what I'm going to do is close us with a word of prayer. I guess I'm going to put Dwayne on the spot. Dwayne is here. Oh, man, we got no piano. Oh, I might put Amy on the spot then. Uh-oh. Amy, talk about being thrown to the wolves. What we'll do is we are going to close with the first and third verse of the love of God, which is verse 67, which is number 67 in the red book. If I could get Amy to... Actually, I should get Don to lead it. Don's got the voice. Could I trouble Don to come on down?
Which verses do you want?
The first and the third. Thanks, you're saving a voice here.
Why don't we stand as we sing and then just remain standing for the closing prayer.
The love of God is greater far than time or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Verse 3.
Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we are mindful of the love that you have for us. And we're just thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished. Dear Heavenly Father, as we're just thinking about our daily lives and some of the routines that we wind up being in, that we would be cognizant of the fact that we are your ambassadors. We are your representatives. And we need to be demonstrating that family resemblance as your children in those different daily situations. How we conduct ourselves at work, how we conduct ourselves during home, how we conduct ourselves at our leisure activities. That we're not part-time Christians, but we're full-time. Full-time in service to you. And one of the greatest services we can do is by being good representatives of you. By demonstrating in our relationships to others that kindness, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness to those around us. And many times it's toughest to do with those that are closest to us, but just give us an extra measure of strength when it comes to that as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to return us to our homes in safety and just watch over us throughout the week. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.